But Dad, isn't it time for illegal ham interface?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some sports shows try to view hot takes. Only one can give a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland food on our semi-famous show. Here are your hosts, Fatty and Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome on into another episode of Legal Ham to the Face. We are live tonight. We got a lot to talk about. We got the Browns defense that we are going to be grading tonight. We're going to talk a little bit of guards, a little bit of calves, a little bit of weird ingredients. And then, Brian, we're going to finish out the show with our top three villains. But, big fella, I got to know, how you doing today, bud?
Hey, man, living the dream. You know how it is.
It's cold, rainy. We're saturated. Did you have any bad thunderstorms down there in beautiful Medina over the past couple days?
Not much. Tuesday morning, I was kind of down further south, like Mansfield, Marion area. It wasn't fun Tuesday morning, but nothing around here. My wife was telling me to make sure you clean out the garage because they're calling for hail, so we can pull some cars in there. And I said, I'll take my chances, and I won that one. So I was doing my victory lap that there was no hail. Yeah.
Jeez. Bri, if there was hail, you would never live that down, buddy.
No, I wouldn't. But I said, we've lived here, what, for 5 or 6 years now, and I've never had hail damage to my car. So everyone was getting all up in arms about the bad weather coming on Tuesday night. So I ruled the dice a little bit.
Yeah, that's how it starts, buddy. Let's see here. Justin said he had tornadoes down there. Hopefully everybody is safe down there. I know there was a couple that hit here in Ohio, down south of Coshocton, down around the I-70 area, had some really bad thunderstorms and things. So hopefully everybody's safe. Definitely did rip through. And, man, I'll tell you what, you want to talk about a lot of rain the past few days, Bri. Holy cow. Like, it is just... it's just saturated. Mm-hmm. Like that's the only thing I can say is it's just every other day it's rain. Like even today it was snowing, rain, sleet, rain, sunshine, snow, rain. It was like, come on, just something happened. Break free because it's springtime. But we got the Masters coming up in a couple weeks.
Next week, yeah. This time next week will be almost around in.
Oh my Lord, crazy. Like, so, Bri, do you got any shout outs this week? Go.
Yeah, let me shout out my nephew Luke. He's a big fan. He's always watching us out in Chicago, Cary, Illinois. He's a superstar basketball player. He's probably 6 years old now. So big fan. He loves you. He's just getting into some sports talk. So yeah, let me give a hi, how you doing, Luke? We miss you, and hope to see you soon, buddy.
Well, thanks for watching, Luke. We definitely got to sign you up to an NIL deal very quickly. If he's going to be playing back,
he's not going to Ohio State. That's a done deal. We've already Ohio figured State. That out. I know what you're thinking.
We could do Akron, right? Kent State?
No, we can't. No, yeah, his dad went to Kent State, so definitely not Akron either.
Okay, so definitely not Akron. What about Toledo? Can we just meet him halfway in Toledo?
I might work my magic there. Same colors as Kent, so I grew up loving Kent. My dad went to Kent, so I ended up going to Toledo, so we could maybe talk along those lines and have some commonality there.
Well, hopefully we can get that. Do you got any other shout-outs tonight, bud?
That's it.
That's it. The only shout-outs I got tonight is tomorrow is one of my best friend's birthdays. Junior's birthday is tomorrow. I want to wish him a happy birthday. Also, Harold Kuhl is killing it. Lake Erie APA, man. I'm telling you, Bri, we're going to do some great things with APA coming up here soon. So just want to shout out him. By the way, our show is brought to you by Harold Kuhl and Lake Erie APA, also City Dogs Cleveland, and we are on Network 216. So now that I got all that breath out. Other than that, Bright, I got nothing else. Just, you know, family, everybody else, just glad everybody's healthy, safe. Just want to shout out everybody that watched, especially last week while you were in Erie. I had a couple of people from 216 reach out and ask where at in Erie because they're going to come party with you. I was like, I don't know if he's down. He's there to work. He's not there to have fun. So,
You can have a little bit of fun. It was nice. It's always nice. And next week I'll have the Masters going afterwards. But this past Thursday I had college basketball games. So after a long day, it was kind of nice to settle into the hotel and watch some college b-ball.
Yeah. We do got to shout out women's Final Four here in Cleveland, Bri. That's huge for Cleveland. Right now, everything is blowing up here in Cleveland. We got, what is it, Iowa and South Carolina, Iowa, UConn, and who's the other one?
NC State.
NC State. Man, the Wolfpack's in both of them?
The Wolfpack's in both and UConn's in both. First time ever. Have two schools with two different Final Four teams. Pretty unbelievable, really.
Justin said 30 days away till the Kentucky Derby. Man, it is springtime, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow. Love the Kentucky Derby. And he said the Frozen Four over the Final Four. Hockey fan here. We already had the hockey discussion a few weeks ago here.
Michigan in the Frozen Four? I don't know. Usually up there.
We will have to find
maybe he can do some research and get back to this. Boston always has a couple schools. Michigan has a couple. Michigan Tech or something, I think, is like good. And then Minnesota, you know, those teams up north where they grow up when the lakes are frozen 10 months a year. You know, they're really good at hockey, surprisingly.
That's the way it always is, right?
Yeah.
All right. You ready to get into our trivia, big fella?
Sure.
Now, I do have an MLB trivia for you. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I teased it last week. I hope you're prepared.
Always.
All right. Well, let's play the trivia sounder here, and we will get into our trivia brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. I said our trivia is always brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland, and we do have a new puppy for you tonight, Bri. And I believe his name, where is it? Hutch. We have a new puppy named Hutch. Let me pull up Hutch's info here. Look at this face, Bri. How can you say no to this face? He is a sweet, mild-mannered gent. He is permanently wearing a tuxedo, as you can see by his nice shades there. He is playful. When the mood strikes, he seems to be soaking up as much attention as possible in the kennels. He leans and oozes and melts into you for pets and affection. He loves his cookies, kind of like we do, Bri. Not going to lie, we love cookies.
I can relate.
He is quite skinny when he arrived to the kennel, so it's understandable. He is working to fill out his body so that he can match his bobblehead. He's been friendly and social with other dogs he's met in playgroup. He is about 3 years old and weighs about 43 pounds. So if you can please go adopt Hutch, let him know that the Ham Boys sent you, and go adopt this beautiful dog. And like we always say, if you can't adopt, please help. Donate, volunteer, a can of food, a dog treat, a Kong, a leash. Anything you can do to help out City Dogs Cleveland, they will greatly appreciate it. I can't thank them enough for everything they do for us here. So please go help out City Dogs Cleveland. Now, Bri, here is the trivia, bud. And this is going to floor you a little bit. I want you to be okay with this, because we've talked about the Guardians and how they have been sort of postseason, not postseason, you know, where we're at. Now, the past 10 years, this little stat Jim came out, Bri. The most MLB wins in the past 10 years, First off, I want you to tell me where the Guardians rank on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, if you can give me the top five.
Okay. Top five, and where are the Guardians at? Gotcha.
Okay. Now, I want to give you a little prelim here.
Mm-hmm.
First place has got 939 wins past 10 years.
Okay, that makes sense.
Last place, 669.
Okay.
And I so will do you want me to team because it'll make my sister happy. Last place team is the Detroit Tigers at 669.
Oh, really, even that bad?
Yep, so, yeah, not good. Not goodness. Good. It looks like Justin said it looks like Boston College versus Scum and Denver versus Boston U.
Michigan is in there, huh? How about it?
So,
I'm with you, Justin. I like the Frozen Four.
And Chris is here just in time for our fun sounder, Bri. You ready? All right, your Cleveland headlines tonight. First off, we have got to go to baseball. Your Guardians are on a hot streak. They went 5-2 out on the West Coast swing. Playing Minnesota right now. Let me check on the score, Bri. It is a final. They won again. They are 6-2 right now. They beat the Minnesota Twins 4-2 tonight. Bri, they have got an offensive surge going on right now. I think they are the first in the AL in runs. And I think they're the third in the MLB in runs right now after just, what, 8 games? Normally, we get this little West Coast slump that we always start out with where we can't win a damn game at all in April and everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. Brian, they're coming out of the gates hot. And the great thing about this is we've had questions about Shane Bieber and if he is back to form. Shane Bieber's looking like the ace of old, man. He has had 19 strikeouts. He has pitched over 6 innings, 83 pitches, shut down baseball pitching by Shane Bieber. We might say goodbye to him at the end of the year, but Bri, I know it's the West Coast swing. We haven't been able to watch much baseball, but how are you excited about this hot start we got? I know it's only 8 games. I know we got 160 of them left, but we normally don't have a hot start like this starting out.
Yeah, just like I predicted. I knew they would take the league by storm. But it seems like the Guardians, you know how the Guardians are. They're when expectations are low or almost non-existent, it seems like they always surprise us and surpass those. So, like me, I was saying, hey, you know, at best we're a 500 team, and they showed me at least through a week that I don't know what I'm talking about. But you know, also. You know, Athletics are maybe the worst team in the AL, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. So you should beat them, but I still give them credit. Had they gone 2-6 over these last 8 games, I'd probably be saying they stink. And so I have to give them credit for going 6-2, especially beating the Twins today. That's a big win. And mm-hmm. You know, the bats have surprised me to this point. You know, I can only judge them based on what I've seen and what I've heard and the box scores and everything like that. So I have to give them credit. They're scoring a lot more than I thought they would, at least to this point. And I think maybe, you know, vote has been a good thing so far through a week and a half. And he's just maybe given them some new energy and, you know, found a way to motivate these young players. Cause we always knew that the pitching staff is going to be there, you know. Thank goodness Bieber is looking like old Bieber again, and we don't know how much longer we'll have him. But, you know, even when he does go, we'll still be fine with our starting pitching. I have confidence in these young guys. You know, there's probably another Bieber somewhere on the staff that's going to step up and kind of step into prominence over the next couple years. And Bibby looked good today. So, you know, it could be one of a few different guys. But, you know, at least a weekend, you know, they seem to have everything that they need. They haven't been perfect, but they've exceeded my expectations for 1 week. So you did it for 1 week. Now let's see, do it for two.
Let's keep it going, because Monday they will be here. By the way, another shout out for the eclipse coming, the solar eclipse. You know, it'll be here Monday afternoon. Cleveland is like the mecca spot right now for it. Hopefully the weather cooperates and we get to see it.
Right.
They did move the time of the game to 5 o'clock so that everybody can kind of see the eclipse and then they can start playing baseball. But Brian, I'm excited to see this right now, because it looks like a team that is playing together like a team. It's not just one person taking over a game. Everybody is kind of hitting right now, and it's not the home runs. It's the doubles. It's the singles. It's the on the base paths, hustling with the extra hustle. It just seems like this team is having a little bit of fun right now coming out of spring training, and I'll take it for all it's worth. Now, I do know a team that is not having fun right now, Bri, and it's our Cleveland Cavaliers. They are limping into the playoffs right now, Bri. This doesn't even look like the team that we had back in January when they had the streak of games going where they were winning everything. This team looks hurt. This team looks not connected. And, Bri, I'm telling you, this team scares me that we're going to be another first and out in the playoffs. And I don't know if it's the coaching. I don't know if it's players. I do know one thing. Darius Garland has got to do something. Him not showing up the past few games. Now, the silver lining and everything, though, Bri, is Evan Mobley is back, and he's actually playing some decent basketball. He scored over 20 points the past three games. He's playing very good. But we got a hurt Donovan Mitchell. We got a Darius Garland that is either afraid to shoot the ball or afraid to drive. And that is just a recipe for disaster. How are you feeling about the Cavs limping into the playoffs, bud? I think we got, like, what, five games left or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, and we've played our last three games against the Suns and the Jazz and the Nuggets. The Jazz and the Nuggets are – legitimate. I mean, the Nuggets won it last year, so clearly they're a title contender. So the Suns have the talent to be a title contender, and the Jazz are just kind of tanking. So it's kind of been as expected. You know, even if we were fully healthy, I don't know if the outcome of these games change at all, because, you know, let's call it for what it is. You know, you're playing teams that are better in the Nuggets and the Suns. If they're motivated, you can beat them. You know, if they're not motivated, if they take you lightly or they look past you, or maybe their second night of a back-to-back or something, you can beat them, but they're a better team than you are. And so it's going to be interesting, you know, how this next month and a half shakes out, because, yeah, like you said, they're limping into the playoffs. And, you know, if Mitchell's not right, I don't know if you have much of a chance. And, it's going to be an interesting offseason. I don't want to look too far ahead, but like I said, you know, time and time again, I think you needed to make changes last offseason, and I think you need to make changes again this offseason. And to me, that's more than just firing a coach and hoping a new coach can come in and make this work. And there's going to be excuses. You're going to be able to make excuses. Well, Donovan Mitchell wasn't healthy. Darius Garland, you know, all these guys haven't been healthy throughout the year. But, I mean, just look at it plainly. When all four of our guys are playing, we're not a very good team. And how does that even make sense? When you have four cornerstones, four pillars of your franchise, they all play together, even though, yes, I understand you can make the argument that they're not all totally healthy, but they're still out on the court and they still can't figure it out after 2 years. And people are going to blame the coach, and I understand that, but to me, it's just what I've been saying time and time and time again. The roster makeup of this team just doesn't work. And at this point, if Darius Garland continues to play like this, I don't know if you can trade him for a bag of balls because he's been pretty bad. And he's not necessarily the face of the franchise, because that's Donovan Mitchell. So I feel like he doesn't take as much heat as maybe, you know, he would if Mitchell wasn't here. But at the same time, you need a Robin to your Batman. And right now he's just, you know, an adequate starter, and we need a whole lot more from him, and especially because he doesn't give you a whole lot on the defensive end. He doesn't give you a whole lot crashing the boards. He has to be a scorer. And at this point, I know it's like baseball, it's basketball, you know, it's a long season. We're going to go through many ups and downs, but I just, like I said before, I hope that you play a difficult team in the first round of the playoffs, because I don't want us to get our chest puffed out because we beat the Magic or we beat the Pacers. I want us to play a true test rather than playing one of these teams that might just be happy to be in the playoffs. And then, hey, we squeak out a 6 or 7 game series against them. And that's not a given either, because the Pacers and the Magic can both beat you if you're not prepared. But let me see how we stack up against the top four, the top five teams in the East. Because if we can't compete with the top four or five teams in the East, then we have to make changes. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about the same exact thing 365 days from right now. And yeah, I wish it was different, but I think regardless of what happens over the next month, I've made up my mind. You have to make changes to this roster.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. I think one of the first things that you have to do right now is, one, the change the roster right now for this team, is Mitchell should sit until the playoffs. I don't think he should be playing any more games. That knee is messed up. It's truly really messed up, and I know everybody's like, well, he needs time to get acclimated and all that stuff. You know something, right now, I don't need it to get hurt more or him to be able to have to sit out a playoff game because it's hurt. Second thing, right now, if he is sitting out, you have to start Darius Garland. But if Donovan Mitchell's playing, he is our point guard. He is handling the ball coming down. And to be honest, I'd like to see Darius on the bench right now come out with the second team. The way he's been playing, like he had the game against the Utah Jazz, right? What do you have, like 8 points, if that? Like, I don't even think he had 8 points. That's the team that you have to be. I mean, Utah Jazz isn't that good. We both know it. And that's the kind of team that you kind of get a heat check for, where you can throw up a whole bunch of shots and try to score. He didn't even do that, Brian. I think he only took like maybe 6 shots. Like, it was like, what are you doing, man? Like, I don't know if it's because he got his jaw fractured and he's afraid to go down low again and get hurt or what it is, but man, something's got to change with him. I've been on board with him. Like, I've loved Darius Garland. I like that they signed him and the way he played beforehand. Just this year, he hasn't played like that, Brian.
To quote Brad Childress, if you remember Brad Childress, I think he was with the Browns at one point, but he was the head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, and his famous line is, he's a programmatic non-fit, and that's kind of how I feel with Darius Garland. If Donovan Mitchell leaves and Darius Garland can slide into that point guard position full-time, not having to split it, not having to play like off guard, you bring it up, I bring it up, who knows? Then that's different. But as it stands right now, if you're moving forward with Donovan Mitchell, then he's a programmatic non-fit. And I mean, you could even make the case over the last few weeks, that Caris LeVert is your second best guard. And yeah. I mean, I love Caris LeVert as much as anybody else, but you know, he's a nice player. He's like a 6th, maybe a 7th man on a championship level team. He shouldn't be a guy that you need to count on to beat the Utah Jazz. And so it's just the state of the franchise right now. And I mean, things can change, but I feel like I've seen so much about when these guys, all 4 of these guys, are capable and healthy enough to play and they play together. It's just like, how do we still not know how to do this? And I'm telling you, it's more than just coaching. A coach can help. I'm not going to say he can't help, but eventually Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, one of them's going to have to guard a 6'7" guard. And, you know, they're just going to torch him. They're just going to shoot right over top him. They're going to out-muscle him. They're getting out-muscled by guys like Josh Hart. You know, when we play the Knicks and Jalen Brunson, I mean, they just push him around. And so to have one guy like that, maybe you can hide him. But to have two guys like that on the floor in crunch time, it's just, it's hard to do unless they're just on fire, unless they're just, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shooting their way, you know, outscoring you time and time again.
Yeah, I think if the season ends right now, we're playing the Miami Heat. And there's your test right there, Bri.
Good. Good.
Yeah. You know, so we'll see what happens because it is all cluster because it changes from day to day who we're playing, where we're at, and seeding. I think right now, are we up to second right now or third? Like we're bouncing between second, third, and fourth. Yeah, and then like, so we have, what is it, Milwaukee, us, and then who's in the four spot? New York?
I think New York might be I think the Magic might be like Magic. A half game behind us or something like that. So, and that's a team that doesn't care about seeding. They're so young. They don't know what they're doing. They're just trying to win every single game. So I feel like maybe the Bucks, maybe even the Cavs are kind of jockeying for position to like see like, oh, we don't want to play the Sixers and Embiid, or we don't want to play Butler and the Heat, so let's maybe lose a game so we don't have to play them. We can avoid them. But, no, I think the Magic are just out there just, hey, let's win every time we take the court. They don't know any better. You know, they're not really thinking they have a chance at a championship, so let's just play as hard as we can and get as far as we can. So, yeah, you better watch it. I mean, we could end up in the four or the five seed. Who knows?
Who knows at this point in time? Bri, we have royalty joining us tonight. I haven't seen his face in forever. Joe Bear is with us tonight. What is going on, Joe Bear? He said, go guards, 6-2, scoring runs, pitching well, good baseball. Yes, it is.
Sweet. I'm happy for Joe. Yep. I love it.
So, Bri, the one thing we didn't get into last week, and we'll get into this week, the new NFL rules have come out, Bri. And a couple of the rules that we have is the new kickoff rule where they're going to adopt the XFL kickoff rule where the kicker will kick. They are down, what is it? I think the 40 or the 30, you line up, another team, the other team's 10 yards in front of you, and you can return the ball. So they're trying to get to the point where you can actually return kicks and not have the 100-mile-an-hour car crashes that happen on kickoffs, even though they kick them out of the end zone anyways, and we still don't have any kickoffs. But the other rule was that they redid was the hip tackle, the hip drop tackle. They are trying to outlaw that tackle. And, Bri, I am floored by this because, you know, as everything is going, one of the guys, I can't remember who said it, but one of the old style players said, he goes, you know, if this was back in the 80s and 90s, okay, I get that. But right now you have 6 foot, 200 pound strong safeties trying to tackle a 6'7", 265, 270 tight end. There's only certain ways you could tackle. I mean, it's a cornerback trying to tackle Derrick Henry. We even saw it with Nick Chubb, even though Nick Chubb got a cheap shot, but like trying to tackle Nick Chubb as he's in full bore going downhill, it's hard to do. And for them to take away this tackle, I think is just taken away from the defenses. I don't know what you think, Bri, and I'm curious to hear what you think about it, but I really don't like them taking this away because they already did away with the horse collar because of the injuries from the horse collar and pulling them back, which that I can understand. I can truly understand. But there's only so many ways you can tackle a person, and this is one of the ways you can tackle a person. And the statistics behind it, yes, some people have gotten injured, but if you look at it, it's not to the point where it has been overabundant injuries because of this tackle. It has been some injuries, and I think it's because it's been to significant players that they're doing this. But how do you feel about this hip drop tackle being taken away?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to enforce. I don't know how they're going to do it. And it's going to really suck, you know, when it happens to your team and the other team is going down, you know, maybe it's third and 26 or something, and they throw a short 5-yard pass and, you know, you do this and it's 15 yards and automatic first down, I think. So, man, it's going to be hard to enforce. It's going to be hard to stomach as a fan. But, you know, I guess they want to call it safety for players. And I believe them when they say that because, yeah, you have a few significant injuries that happened because of this tackle. But I think both these rules, both this and the kickoff rule, is the NFL trying to increase offense. And there's so many rules that they put into place to increase offense. And so you might think it's always about the offense. It's always about the offense. You know, it's so difficult to play defense anymore. But, I mean, you look at the numbers. Scoring has been down over the last 5 years. Scoring has dropped from like 48 total points in a game, 49 total points in a game, down to last year. It was like, you know, maybe around 44. So, you know, teams aren't scoring as much as you maybe think they do. So this is a way to try to get interest. Nobody wants to watch. I mean, most NFL fans don't want to watch a 7-3 game or a 14-10 game or something like that. And so we've seen like an increase in those games over the last few years. And so, yeah, I think it's going to suck, you know, whenever it happens to your team. I really do like the kickoff rule, the hip drop tackle rule. You know, it's not going to be too significant unless your team A gets screwed on it. And it's an automatic first down and, you know, keeps the drive going and it's against your defense. That's going to suck. Or, you know, but the inverse is if they didn't make this rule and say Nick Chubb goes out there next year and he's having a great season and somebody does one of these tackles on him and he's out for the year again. And so when it happens to your guy, he gets an injury because of this tackle, you know, you're going to say the NFL needs to do something about it. So I understand why they're doing it, but still it's not going to stop guys from doing it. It'll maybe slow this down. Guys are still going to do it from time to time. Like you said, when you have Juan Thornhill trying to tackle Gronkowski and he has his arms around his waist and Gronk is just dragging him, you know, what's he going to do? He's going to fall to the ground and hope that he can hold on to him and eventually trip Gronk up. So, yeah, some guys, that's just kind of what you have to do. And if you get called for a penalty or whatnot. But, yeah, going back to the kickoff rule, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know all the nuances to the rule, but I think they penalize you even more now for kicking it into the end zone. Is it you get the ball at the 30 if it's a touchback or something now?
I don't know. I didn't read into that. I mean, I love this rule, though, because it gives your kicker or your kick returner a chance to fucking break one. And that's kind of where we're at now, because it's just – all it is touchbacks anymore, Brian, with a kickoff. And you don't have your specialty guys anymore like we had growing up, you know, with like Eric Metcalf with punt returns and kickoff returns, with Josh Cribbs, with Devin Hester, with all these great special teams people. Well, they're kind of just null and void now, because all you're doing is going back, going like this and going, yep, it's out of the end zone. All right. I guess we're taking it on the 20. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even a factor anymore. Kickoffs are. Unless it's an onside kick. And even with the onside kick now with this new rule, you have to declare it's an onside kick. So if you even do that, you can't even sneak an onside kick anymore. So they know an onside kick's coming, which most people do anyways, especially depending on the score of the game. But, I mean, it's just I love it, Bri. I think it's going to bring special teams back into play. I think it's going to be bringing kick returners back into the game. Our new Nyheim Hines might get another kickoff return for a touchdown.
Nyheim. I'm sorry. You keep saying Nyheim, and I keep meaning to correct.
I think it's
you,
so okay.
Let me make this official with an Nyheim. H. Nyheim.
H.
There you go.
Not a K. Okay.
Not a K.
Not a K. H. Nyheim.
Sorry. I don't mean to knock you off. Right? Go on.
No,
but you're yes, right. I agree. I agree. It's going to be so much more fun to watch kickoffs now. It's not like because before it was you score a touchdown. And now I have to wait 10 more minutes before football happens again, because they got to kick the extra point, then they got to do a touchback, and then now we're finally back to football. But, yes, go on. I didn't mean to cut you off, but continue with your thought with Nyheim Hines. Yes, he's a good one.
I think he did it, was it a couple years ago, was one of the last ones to do a kick return for a touchdown?
With the Bills.
Buffalo. Yeah, so – I think it's going to be more exciting. I think it's going to bring the game a little bit better, especially getting the special team guys. I mean, special teams is a huge part of the NFL game with the field goals, with punting and everything else. And kickoffs used to be that way, Bri. And like, that's how some people made their living, was by special teams. I mean, look at our special teams, you know, coach right now, Bubba Matrone, special teams guy. Like, he wasn't anything else but a special teams guy. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's a different animal playing special teams. But now with this, I kind of like it that you get a chance to actually return a kick and, hey, maybe take one to the house again. Like, I think it's just, yeah. I think it's going to be great for football. I think it's going to be great for the NFL that them adapting this rule in.
I think it's going to look more like, to me, it's going to more look like a running play, to where, you know, these lanes, you know, these gaps will open up, and, you know, it's going to introduce a whole different strategy for special teams coaches. And, you know, I think we're going to see more return for a touchdown, because the guys, once you break through that first line, you know, you just have to beat the kicker and you're gone. So I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch as a fan. My initial thought was, man, how great would it have been to have like Josh Cribbs now, because we know how great he was with old rules. And now I think like, oh man, I mean, he would just have to bust through that first line. And in my mind, he'd have twice as many kick returns for touchdowns. So yeah, and I'm happy that that the NFL maybe put their ego aside, and they said, because I didn't know if they would do that, to take and steal a rule from the XFL and say, man, this really worked in that league. And, you know, they came up with the solution to how you knock down these injuries, to where guys are running 30 miles an hour and just colliding into each other. I mean, this definitely cuts down on any of that. And I think it's a better product in my mind too. And, you know, if it is true what I thought I heard, to where you get the ball at like 30 or maybe even 35 if you kick the touchback, it's going to encourage teams to kick it and to have a kickoff. So you're going to have to stay glued to your seat even longer. You're not going to sit there and wait 5 to 10 minutes between meaningful football. So anytime you can do that, I'm all for it.
And that kind of sucks at the bar though, Brian, because at that point in time, you're normally getting another drink, going to the bathroom. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're cutting into the potty time when you're at the bar watching the game. Cause it's like, oh, they scored a touchdown. Well, I don't have to come back here for another 10 minutes. So no, I love it. Brian, let's get into the Browns defense. I mean, that's why everybody's here watching us tonight. Right now, Brian, we got 85 viewers watching us tonight, and they want to know about the Browns defense.
Thank you.
We are grading the Browns defense. And Brian, we did our grades last week on the offense and where we thought the offense was at. And, you know, this is obviously, things are going to change, people. This is not going to be the same roster that they started out with at the beginning of the year. This is where we're at now during free agency, after, before the draft, like kind of where we're at and where we need, think this grade is and where it needs to be before the draft happens. Because the draft is, what, 3 weeks, Bri? 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so let's start off first with our safeties, Bri. We'll start on the back end and work our way to the front. For our safeties this year, we have Grant Delpit, Juan Thornhill, De'Anthony Bell, Rodney McLeod, and Ronnie Hickman back as our safeties. We have 5 safeties. I'm sure they're going to add more. But, Bri, how would you grade this safety room as it is constructed right now? And what do you think the safety room is going to do next year?
So question for you, is McLeod back? I thought I heard something about it, but I never really like, yes, usually they put out like an official suite. Okay, good. That's good news.
Yeah. So he's back. He was the one, he actually is the one that interviewed about the, he was on the afternoon show 92.3 The Fan with Nick Wilson and Dustin Fox talking about the hip drop tackle and how, you know, you're taught how to tackle throughout the entire year, your entire childhood, how people could tackle. And now we got to change it up. And, you know, because I've been tackling people for, you know, 20 years, and now I got to change up how I tackle people. So yes, he is signed. He is back. So that is a huge, I believe it's a huge back, you know, him having him back in the safety room.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think so. I think you're correct. And just having that veteran there backing up, I feel like our starters are pretty solid. I think Delpit's maybe a little bit ahead of Thornhill, and hopefully, I mean, Delpit has been trending, even though he had dealt with some injuries at the end of last year. He's been trending to being like a Pro Bowl safety. And I think if he can continue to progress, he will make a Pro Bowl at some point. I mean, last year he led us in, was it INTs and tackles? So anytime a safety can do that, it's a feather in your cap. And so it just shows you, especially because remember him coming out of college, the knock on him was he can't tackle. So I think he's made huge strides as long as he can stay healthy. He's dealt with some injuries over the last few years and, you know, going back to his rookie year where he missed most of that campaign. I think I'm comfortable with where we're at. I wouldn't mind adding maybe one more safety in the draft. I still kind of have a bad taste in my mouth from that Houston game. Just seeing, I know Ronnie Hickman, you know, he's kind of been the scapegoat for me. It's hard for me to get out. And it's not his fault because he shouldn't have been put in that position. He shouldn't, an undrafted rookie free agent should not be playing in a playoff game. But he was. And so, like I said, it may not be fair to him. Because I know he made a couple plays in the Jets game, and so I don't want to completely wash over those. But I would feel a little better if maybe we had either a little more talent as our fourth safety, because, you know, as much as I love Rodney McLeod, he's what, 34 now, and he ended last year on the IR, and so, you know, you don't get healthier as you get older. So that gives me some concern on who we can count on at the end of the year. So, yeah, either get another veteran in here or maybe draft a guy that has potential that maybe can play a little bit. So, but it's still a solid room. Give me a B for them.
I agree with you 100%. I'm going to give a B too. If they could stay healthy, that is the big thing with this room, because we've had too many injuries on that back end, especially with last year with Juan Thornhill and Delpit there towards the end. Can't have those injuries. If they could stay healthy, Brian, you know how much I love Grant Delpit. And Grant Delpit last year was like his show and out party. And I'm so glad they re-signed him. I always thought he was going to be, you know, how high I was on the Honey Badger too when the Honey Badger came out. He was probably the same way. I was so glad they drafted him. I'm excited about this room, but I am with you. I have a feeling they will draft another safety later on in the rounds, probably sixth round safety, just to bring another body in to kind of help out. But I agree. I think it's a B room right now. It could be a B plus if everybody stays healthy. And that's what we just got to pray for, is everybody staying healthy. All right, let's move on to the cornerback room, not quarterback, cornerback. Mm-hmm. We have Denzel Ward, Khalif Halis, Vincent Gray, Martin Emerson, Tony Brown, Justin Hardy, Greg Newsome, and Cameron Mitchell are our cornerbacks right now. I'm still high on this room, Bri. Martin Emerson and Greg Newsome, last year, resurgence from him playing in the slot, doing good. I know there's a couple games where he had to play on the outside. He got burnt and torched a couple times. But I'm still high on this room, Bri. I don't think it's our strength of our defense. I think it's one of these strengths. I'll give it 1B, but I'm going to give our cornerback room an A-. The only reason why I don't give it more than an A- is because I need everybody to stay healthy, Bri. And I know it's the NFL and it's hard to stay healthy, but Denzel Ward getting hurt last year. You had Emerson got hurt for a little bit. You got Newsome got dinged up with a little bit of a concussion. Mitchell even got hurt a little bit. So if this room can stay healthy, it is a room that could be an elite secondary, Bri. And I mean, like, ball hawking top secondaries in the NFL if they can stay healthy.
Well, we are 2 for 2. I also have them as an A-. And to me, just to let you know, like, where my rating scale is, a C is average. So C is 15th in the league. An A-, it means you're like a top five borderline top five unit. And so I think that's where our cornerbacks are. I think Denzel Ward is a top 10 guy. And I think Emerson is highly underrated. I think a lot of people in this area thought maybe he shouldn't have made the Pro Bowl. And I think maybe with time, he's not the big name, like the big high draft pick. Maybe if he was, maybe he'd be getting a little more respect. But yeah, you think of those two guys, and then you think of Greg Newsom. He'd be most teams' number two cornerbacks, and he's our number three. So, yeah, there's a lot of good units, cornerback units in the NFL. I think of Miami. I think of Kansas City last year before they lost Snead. But I think the Browns are right up there with them, and I feel comfortable with where we're at. As long as Denzel Ward can continue to stay healthy, I think maybe that's the one thing that could be the downfall of this room. But Emerson continuing to improve, we still have him under contract for very cheap for the next 2 years. So hopefully for the next 2 years, and Newsom, even if we do lose Newsom or choose to trade him, Cam Mitchell stepped up a little bit last year. I was maybe a little disappointed that they didn't bring back AJ Green because they've put in a lot of time with him, and I've heard how he's kind of been progressing well. And even though he was a undrafted rookie free agent, he's kind of been making some plays. And so I had high hopes for him. So, but yeah, Cam Mitchell would be your four. I wouldn't put it past him to either, you know, make an under the radar signing of a veteran or even late round draft, you know, probably not in the first couple picks, but yeah, that fifth, sixth, seventh round, maybe making a pick, be a cornerback there. So, but right now I'm good. I'm good with where we're at. I think, yeah, like I said, borderline top five group.
I think almost every year in the draft, you should draft a cornerback, Bri. I think every year you have to take a swing on somebody, whether it be a seventh round or something like it just seems like that's the one position that everybody tries to draft later in the rounds. And I think it'd be good. I'm with you. I think they'll take a swing on a cornerback later on too, along with the safety. Let's get into the linebacker group, Bri. Now the linebacker group, we have JOK, Charlie Thomas, III, Muhammad Diabate, Caleb Johnson, Tony Fields, II, and our new people, Jordan Hicks and Devin Bush joining the team. Bri, how are you feeling about the linebacker room? And I'm going to let you take over for this because my wife literally scared the crap out of me earlier. If you did not see our safety segment, she poked her head up here and scared the crap out of me. So I have to go downstairs for a quick second, but take over the linebacker room. All right. And I'll be right back.
Yep. I mean, to me, the linebackers are kind of, it's a work in progress. You know, JOK is the stud in the room, and he's a guy who just continues to make play after play after play this past year. He was the only one who really showed up in that Houston Texans game in the playoffs. And, you know, he's a guy hopefully we can count on last year. You know, even if you remember at the beginning of last year, people were questioning whether he's ready to take the next step. And I think he proved that that he was, and he was just all over the field, you know, making tackles for loss here. His speed was alarming at times, just how quickly he can make the adjustments and get to the backfield. So I feel comfortable with him. You know, they're going to have to probably pay him, maybe if not this offseason, maybe during the season, kind of like they did with Delpit. But after that, I think, like, you know, we have a lot of question marks. Hicks is kind of a veteran guy who you hope you can count on. And, you know, Devin Bush is maybe a guy who's been up and down, certainly still has a ton of potential, but that's kind of wavered over the last few years. I'm dealing with some injuries last year, and now the Steelers and the Seahawks, two well-run organizations, have given up on him. So I think it's make or break time for him. So, you know, if you're asking me, I'd probably give this room a C, and that's the lowest. Wide receiver at C+, but linebacker at C is the lowest group lowest grading for a group on the team. So, and I think that's maybe a little bit by design, because the Browns just really over the years have not valued linebackers. They don't need that quarterback of the defense, kind of like we kind of fell into Anthony Walker over the last few years, and he kind of became that. But we really don't need that middle linebacker. You know, you think back to the Ray Lewis, the Brian Urlachers. You know, I don't think this defense is designed that way. But it would be nice. You know, I don't know if JOK grows into that role, or maybe eventually they either draft one or sign, you know, put a lot of money into, like, you know, what we talked about in the free agent signings period. Patrick Queen, you know, could have been like a Devin White could have been your stud middle linebacker. So I don't know if they're looking for that necessarily. But we also lost some continuity that has been here over the last few years. Did you say is Tony Fields back or is he gone?
No, he's back.
He's back. Okay, so we've lost Taki Taki. You know, he's been a guy who it hasn't been great, but he's a guy we've been able to count on over the last few years. So, like I was saying before, JOK is like the only guy that you feel like you can trust. Everyone else, you know, even though Hicks and Bush have some experience, it's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, but I love the step that JOK took last year, especially in this Jim Schwartz defense. And I know that they really are high on Diabate, or am I saying it right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
If not, we're both wrong.
Well, I know they're really high on him, Brian. They loved him last year. That's the reason why he made this team. He did study under Anthony Walker. I know they brought in Devin Bush and Jordan Hicks. I think that's another group that you can kind of study under too, with those two being as good as they are and just tackling machines. I'm excited about this group. I know we lost Anthony Walker, and that was a huge blow. I believe it's a huge blow, Bri, because he was kind of like the voice and like holding the defense together. And I know he was injured and things of that nature. Hopefully Jordan Hicks can kind of step into that, but hopefully now after a couple of years, JOK is the one being that voice and taking over this linebacker group. And I hope he does, because if he does, that means he's going to be here for a while. I do believe he is probably one of the best, fastest linebackers. I mean, I know he's not Micah Parsons. I know he's not, you know, some of the top-tier linebackers. But what he does that most people can't do is just disrupt, Bri. And it's screen passes. It is, you know, short slants. It is just getting the quarterback off his spot, and I'm excited about it. What grade did you give the linebackers, Brian?
I gave him a C.
You gave him a C. I am going to go C+, B-. I'm in that range with them. I think they need to take a step. We'll see if people can stay healthy and the free agents work out. I think they have a chance to be an upper-level linebacker core, especially with – I am very high on Jordan Hicks. That guy is just a tackling machine, Bri. And he is a guy that just doesn't miss tackles. So that's where I'm at with them. Let's get into our defensive line, Bri. We have Za'Darius Smith, Alex Wright, Sam Kamara, Lonnie Phelps. You have Dalvin Tomlinson, Quentin Jefferson, Sayaki Ika, Shelby Harris, Mo Hurst is back, Chris Williams, and then Miles Garrett, Obo Okonakwo, Isaiah McGuire, and Isaiah Thomas for your defensive linemen. Now, Bri, I thought for the longest time that they might draft a defensive lineman in this draft. I don't think they're going to touch a defensive lineman in this draft. I think they're going to hit a couple more spots other than defensive line. I think maybe if they take a swing at something, it might be defensive tackle. But other than that, with the signing of Mo Hurst, everything else, Bri, I'm giving this defensive line a solid A. They played up to it last year. If everybody can stay healthy, like we always say, health is an issue. If everybody can stay healthy, this could be an A+ defensive line. Obo and Za'Darius Smith showed up. Like, we haven't had Za'Darius Smith on the back end of the season play great. Miles Garrett was hurt the second half of the season. We all know that. But the defensive, what the one thing that stood out the most to me was the defensive tackles between Tomlinson and Mo Hurst and, you know, Shelby Harris, all those guys in the middle stopping the run, lit Myles Garrett eat. And I think it was for once in our time here with Myles Garrett, a cohesive defensive line. Everybody played for each other, and it didn't matter if Garrett got the sack or if he didn't get the sack. Everybody was going after everybody on that defensive line, and especially if it was like third and six, they were just balls to the wall, Bri, just rushing everything. Everything they got, they were going after him. And I really did like the speed lineup they had with Za'Darius Smith, Oboe, and Myles Garrett on some of those too. So how do you feel about the defensive line?
Yeah, so I broke it down to defensive ends and defensive tackles. And we'll start with defensive ends because of probably a shorter conversation, and that's because of Myles Garrett. You have Myles Garrett. What's the old saying? High tide raises all ships. So I feel like that's kind of the case with Myles Garrett. And Za'Darius Smith, don't get me wrong, he's great. But he's on the back nine of his career. You know, if we had Za'Darius Smith from 5 years ago, I'd say we're probably the best, hands down, defensive ends in the league. As it is right now, it's probably at least a discussion. But so defensive ends, and then you have Oboe, which is he's probably a starting defensive end in a lot of defenses. So to have him as your number three guy, spelling those guys, even though he's maybe not fantastic against the run, even though he did make some plays with his quickness, getting off the ball in the run game last year. I give defensive ends an A. You know, not much more to explain than Myles Garrett. Defensive tackles, I had them as a B+. I lowered them recently just to a B because – you know, to me, a B+ is maybe top 10 unit or something like that. So I can't say for certain that we're there yet, even though Tomlinson is a great addition from last year in the run game. And I feel like, you know, maybe we almost struck gold with Mo Hurst and Shelby Harris because, you know, they're just kind of like secondary signings and, you know, hopeful, you know, let's just throw them out there. Shelby Harris wasn't signed till what, August or something like that. So for those guys to step up the way they did, and, you know, if we were looking for a 5-year outlook on the defensive tackle position, maybe I'd feel a little different, but if we're just looking at this one season, I feel pretty good with Tomlinson, with Shelby Harris, and with Mo Hurst. And it just continues to – it's a lot like the wide receiver room. It continues to frustrate me, and I'm sure it frustrates the Browns, even Andrew Berry. We just continue to draft these guys in the third and fourth rounds and get not much from them. So, Siaki Ika, this is your year to give us something, man. Jordan Elliott gave us flashes at times, and, you know, he had a lot of hype in him in the preseason, but – at the end of the day, he just wasn't good enough. So if we can get anything, and that's why I'm, you know, I said for cornerback and safety, I wouldn't mind them taking a guy late in the draft. I don't even, you know, I don't know if I trust Andrew Berry to draft a defensive tackle. You know, you hope that whatever he's done in the past with drafting wide receivers and defensive tackles, he completely shakes it up or at least even turn it over to somebody else completely, because whatever he's doing, it doesn't seem to be working with drafting defensive tackles. But for 1 year, you know, this room is old. So injuries are going to worry you when you have a lot of veterans there. But going into it, if they can stay healthy, I'm comfortable with those three guys.
Yeah, I am too. And I think the one signing that is going to help out Ika is Quentin Jefferson. I think the signing of Quentin Jefferson,
I forgot about him. Right.
Is going to be just, I think that is going to help out this defense. Just the experience, teaching guys. You know, I think he is like the perfect fit to be that mentor for our younger defensive tackles.
Well, like I said, I forgot about him. So in my mind, that drops Siaki Ika to number 5. which means you're in Tommy Togiai territory. You know, I don't know if they would give up on a draft pick after a 1 year. You know, and he was a pretty. I mean, considering I don't think so either. We don't have many draft picks. He was pretty high draft pick for what we have. What was he, third, maybe fourth rounder?
Maybe.
Yeah. So
I think it was
a disappointment.
I think he was a third rounder. No, he was a fourth rounder. He was a fourth rounder.
Tillman was a third rounder, but I can't remember if we had two third rounders last year.
It's amazing. You just got to put in ICA. And you know, see what happens.
ICA Wikipedia.
Let's see here. Where was ICA Wikipedia? He was drafted third round pick number 98. So he's our second third round pick.
Wow. So at the end of the round, but still. Yeah. He was a disappointment. I can't think of one play that he made for the entire year.
I can't either, but there's a lot of times he was a healthy scratch, so he's got to do better than what he did. So,
Maybe they're grooming him. You know, I'll try to be optimistic and leave you with this. Maybe they're grooming him to be to take over Dalvin Tomlinson's position because he's a big dude, and he can learn from Dalvin on how to stop the run better. And you know, I think maybe we only signed Tomlinson to a 2-year deal. You know, maybe their hope is. He'll pick that up after being in the league for 2 years. He can step into being that run stuffer that Tomlinson is for us currently.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that can happen. Man, this season is just, Bri, there's so many questions this season.
It's a long ways away too.
Overall, what would you like overall defense? Like where are you grading our defense overall right now? Like as a whole, the whole defense. Were you grading it? Because I got him at a B.
Oh, I'm higher than that. I think we're borderline top five defense. You're higher than that? Yeah, I think we showed it last year, though, and so we didn't lose anything.
A?
No, well, I would go as high as an A. I'd say I'm fluctuating between a B plus and A minus.
So we're sort of in the same area. The only reason why I said B is if everybody stays healthy. If everybody stays healthy, they're going to be an AA minus defense.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to assume that we're just going to get a bunch of guys hurt. Like I said earlier, A minus to me means you're a top five unit. And so I think the Browns last year proved that, you know, they had inconsistencies. They need to be better on the road, but certainly at home they were borderline elite. But if you take it all as a whole, I think, you know, you'd struggle to come up with five defenses that are for sure better than the Browns.
Yeah. Okay. No, I agree. I agree. I'm just excited. I'm ready for football to come back, Bri.
I know.
Right? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We do got to give Chris has been in here. Mom was in here. Eric Dunlap was in here. James was in here. I haven't seen James in a while.
Hey, James.
Eric did bring up, before we get into Fat Boy Thursday, Eric did bring up, we did have a big trade happen. And the rich keep getting richer down in Houston. Your thoughts on the Bills getting Diggs, Stephon Diggs, to the Texans for a second round pick? I know he was sort of a cancer in Buffalo, but like, what does that leave Buffalo with left? Like wide receiver, right? Like, I'm pretty sure Josh Allen walked in and went, where did everybody go? how do you feel about Diggs going to Houston to be with CJ Stroud and all them down there? Houston is just setting this team up right now.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Honestly, when you really think about it, I think it makes a lot of sense for both of them. Buffalo has some cap issues. There's been questions on the Allen-Diggs relationship. What Buffalo really needs to do is they need to make a move for a wide receiver. I'm not positive where they're drafting. Probably somewhere in the 20s, unless they traded it or something. They're going to need – maybe they look at this draft and say – it's super deep in wide receivers, or at least the first couple rounds, you can get a good one. Maybe they try to trade up and get a guy like Brian Thomas from LSU. So there's no doubt they need a receiver. But they might be going the way of Kansas City. Kansas City didn't, going into this season, they didn't have any, you know, even good wide receivers. They had a bunch of like average guys, and hopefully they can, and Rashee Rice, you know, who they drafted turned into something, but he's not, still not great. Now the difference between Buffalo and Kansas City is Travis Kelce is their number one receiver, really. And you know, but Buffalo drafted that Dalton Kincaid last year, and maybe they're hoping he's gonna take over as a primary target for that offense. But and then going to Houston, I mean, it makes a ton of sense for Houston because
rookie contract. You know, what do we see?
Go ahead.
Rookie contract. You got CJ Stroud, took him to playoffs last year. He's on a rookie contract. That means you can load up everything around him before you have to pay him.
Yep. That's the trend in the NFL. Once you realize you have your quarterback and he's on that rookie contract, you can just load up around him. And by the time you have to pay CJ Stroud, you know, Diggs is probably going to be gone from the team and you're not going to have to pay him a whole lot. So you have, maybe they're saying you have a 3-year window or a 4-year window before before you have to give Stroud the big bucks. And so why not go for it now? You got the coach. You got the quarterback. You know, I hesitate to put them probably in the top. I probably, you know, they're probably borderline top five in the AFC. I still put Baltimore, Cincinnati, probably even still Buffalo, although, you know, Buffalo and them are kind of close. And then Kansas City for sure. But let's not forget, let's not go crazy with how good we think the Texans are. They were one dropped pass from the Indianapolis Colts away from missing the playoffs last year. So let's not, I know it's the thing to do in the offseason. Whenever somebody makes a move, you overreact to it and you say, oh, they're definitely in Kansas City's breath now, and I'm going to have to see it more. I'm not even positive they are the favorites in the AFC South, but I'm not positive that they're going to win the AFC South. I think Jacksonville still has a little something.
Yeah. I can't believe the rich keep getting richer, Bri. Especially
the AFC is loaded. The AFC, I mean, as good as we think the Browns are, that's why, you know, I think the Browns are really good. And they're a top 10 team in the NFL. But, you know, just look around the AFC. It's just, you got them, you got the Chargers, you got, you know, like I said, the Jaguars still have a chance. The Bengals are going to get back into it. The Steelers always are around 9-7, you know, 9-8. And it's just, it's crazy. You're going to have to bring it every single week. It's going to be tough sledding.
All right, Brian, I'm going to push Fat Boy Thursday to next week, but we will discuss real quick. We did bring it up last episode. It's ketchup a jelly. My beautiful, beautiful minded boy brought that up to me. And I had a few comments on it. A lot of people said technically yes, but it's more of a jam because it's a spread instead of chunky like a jelly. But I still am floored that my 10-year-old came up with this food topic. So, Bri, you've had some time to think about it. You had some time to digest it. Since a tomato is a fruit and not a vegetable, does that make ketchup a jelly or jam?
Neither.
Oh,
me, Bri. This is like a hot dog is a taco argument. You're just, and I'm not. I love the outside the box thinking.
Like it's crazy, right?
But what's a jam? A jam is a spread. A jam is something you put on toast. Does anybody put ketchup on toast and eat it?
You never know. I bet you there's people out there, Bri.
So where do you draw that? I mean, is barbecue sauce a jam?
Well, no, because barbecue sauce isn't made with a fruit.
It's primarily ketchup.
It is ketchup. Oh, shit. Now we're getting deep.
Like, you have to draw the line somewhere. And so for me, the line is ketchup. Ketchup, I like the thinking, and maybe in theory, kind of like, you know, we talk lemonade and juices, kind of like all that. Like, yeah, I see how you're making the point, but yeah, it just, that's where I draw the line. It's because it's not a spread. A jam is something that you eat just by itself. And I mean, it's their kids. I have a niece, Adeline. Shout out to Adeline now. She loves ketchup like her Uncle Bri does. But yeah, I don't think I could do just ketchup on a piece of bread.
Bri, I mean, these are the hard hitting facts and debates that we do here on the Legal Ham of the Face, which is on Network 216. But I mean, these are the stuff that we talk about all the time, because if you think outside the box, you know, like the whole hot dog is a taco thing. Like if you think outside the box, like it all depends on your variation of things and how you think of things.
Sure. All right. Give me your true thoughts and you're welcome to have your true thoughts as ketchup and jam.
God, it's all right. So it's the way I think about a hot dog is the way I think about ketchup. I think it's its own thing. Okay. Because ketchup can go on multiple different things. It can go in spaghetti sauce. It can go in, like, you could use it multiple different ways. Mm-hmm. So I think of it as its own like entity, because like a hot dog is its own thing, you know, like it's hard, but that man, for that kid to think about that at 10 years old, that's what he's thinking about. Like, I wonder what he's actually learning in school when he comes home with that kind of crap. Like I have a feeling, Bright, in like 10 years from now, he is going to find like a cure for cancer because he thought about, is ketchup a jelly or jam? Because he did that.
Chip off the old block.
Holy cow. All right. Well, let's get into our top three tonight. And let me play the top three sounder. Our top three tonight, Brian, I went a little dark because everybody is thinking of Caitlin Clark as a villain in the NCAA women's basketball. So, Brian, what are your top three villains of all time?
Boy, I'm probably going to have you go first because I need some clarity. What are we talking? Are we talking movie TV, villains? Are we talking TV, sports movies, villains?
Sports, whatever you think is the top three.
Are villains. We talking real life villains like Osama bin Laden?
No, we're not talking like Osama. We're talking like, okay. Yeah, we're not going that far. We're not going Saddam on this one. Like, okay,
I need some clarity.
Let me give you my top three, and this will kind of help you out a little bit. Okay, right. Number three for me is Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors. Villain. Villain, villain, villain. You could have gone to any other
good team. One. Going That's to a State good Warriors. One.
Yep. Okay. Number two for me is the Joker. Heath Ledger, the Joker in The Dark Knight. What a great villain all around. And Bri, number one, we're coming up to it. Darth Vader. May the fourth be with you. One of the best villains of all time is Darth Vader. Now, honorable mentions, Bri, for me is Queen Daenerys in Game of Thrones.
Did you watch that?
Oh, God, yes, I watched that.
Oh, I didn't know you watched that.
Oh, of course I watched that. I'm a nerd like that, Bri.
And I didn't. Then, that's not my jam, but I don't hate you for it.
And then another one, honorable mention, is the flat top from Texas Unnecessary Roughness. You gotta love a guy named Flat Top.
I don't remember him, but it's been a while since I've seen that.
He was the linebacker for Texas, saying they just kept sacking him. Finally, at the end, the center took him out.
Nice. Okay. Do you have any other honorable mentions?
Steph Curry is always a villain here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, we could keep going. LeBron James going to Miami was probably one of the biggest villains.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, what about you? What do you think, bud?
Well, yeah, minor sports related as well. Although my first one here is fictional. Number three is going to be Shooter McGavin. Hated that guy.
And I what love Shooter McGavin.
What a jerk. Yeah, hey, he was a jerk.
Bri?
Taking grandma's house like that. Are you kidding me?
Shooter.
Anywho, no, get out of here with it. Number two, I had a hard time here choosing which warrior. Draymond Draymond's the easy one because he's just a jerk. He's just a, I can't say a lot of words that I want to say about Draymond, but he's that guy. But Steph also, I mean, just everyone treating him like the golden boy, like he never does anything wrong, and he's the greatest of all time. He's Jesus with a basketball. Give me a break. So Steph, he's number two. I'll give it to Steph there. And my number one, it's this guy over here. Ben. He's always going to be number one. Hopefully always. I hope the Steelers don't ever draft a quarterback who torments me as a Browns fan like that guy did. And so overrated, doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. The defense carried him to that first championship. He was absolutely awful. And then Santonio Holmes makes a miraculous catch to save him in the other one. So right, he should have won any of them.
Brian, I can't wait to clip this later.
It's the truth. 100% of the truth. Yep.
I know. All right. You ready to finish off our trivia for tonight? So we close out the show.
Sure.
Our trivia is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Go adopt Hutch if you can. Let me put up some pictures of him. Look at it. Adopt, donate, volunteer, whatever you can do to help out City Dogs Cleveland. There he is right there. As Princess comes back upstairs for the fourth time tonight. Bri, I asked you, give me the top five in the past 10 years, the top five MLB leaders in wins, and where do the Guardians sit?
Okay, so in no particular order, I got five teams here. I got the Astros.
Check.
The Dodgers.
Check.
Gotta think the Yankees, right?
Check.
Okay, so there's three. Then fourth, I want the Tampa Bay Rays.
They are sixth. They are just out of the top five. Okay,
shoot. Boy, this is going to be tough. Who else is a big spender? Not the Red Sox. Are the Red Sox up there?
Nope. Red Sox are middle of the pack.
Yeah, right. They've kind of struggled. The Cubs, I know they had a good run there.
They are seventh.
Mm-hmm. Cubs are seventh. Okay, so let me jump to my fifth team that I have written down here. I have the Guardians as my fifth team.
They are not number five, Bri.
Shoot.
Guess what?
Phillies.
Nope. Phillies are not on here.
Nationals? No.
Nope. They're probably not on there. You want me to just give it to you right now? It's a national.
No, league. I don't. Okay. All right. Thank you for the hint. I'll take that hint.
Now, the Guardians are four.
What do you mean the Guardians are four?
Guardians are fourth on this list. You said the
Guardians. Yeah, I said the Guardians. No. I said my fifth team was the Guardians.
Okay, the Guardians.
So I wrote down five teams, and yeah, the Guardians was one of them. Okay, so I need number five now.
Number five. It's a National League team.
It's not good for the Guardians. Shoot, I don't even know. The Cardinals?
There it is, number five.
Oh, okay. Oh, I like the Cardinals. Yeah, my team of the night, National League team of the 90s with Ray Lankford and Ron Gant, Brian Jordan. I love those guys.
All right, so L.A. Dodgers at 939, the Astros at 871, the Yankees at 855, your Cleveland Guardians at 829.
Wow.
And the Cardinals at 822. So, Bri, I know you have said that we haven't put the best product on the field, and this isn't a World Series.
Well, just game. Lately. Well, just I, lately. I mean, if we're going 10 back years. 10 years, I mean, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying lately, over the last few years. If we're going back 10 years,
oh no,
they went to the damn World Series in 2016. Right. That was within the 10 years.
By two pitchers and luck, they went to the World Series. Let's just be honest with that one, Brad. The greatest run they had.
There's something special. I mean, It was really awesome.
I want people to realize that the Guardians are not that bad. To be,
I know,
averaging over, and now I know that's over 500 baseball, like barely over 500 baseball. But people, go watch your Guardians. Over 10 years, Bri, that's an 82 wins, if you think about it.
No, and that's great. And they're far exceeding expectations on where they should be. But look at those other four teams that you mentioned in the top five.
Oh, yeah, they're big.
What do they all have?
Oh, championships.
Championship, yep.
But also,
so Tampa, you can understand.
So here we go. So falling out that Tampa Bay, Chicago Cubs, Braves,
championship,
Red Sox,
championship, championship, championship.
Brewers.
Now, I don't know about the Brewers.
Blue Jays.
Definitely not Blue Jays.
Mariners. Giants, who's had championships. Right. Mets. Nationals. Twins. Angels. Athletics. God, the Athletics are above the Phillies. But I mean, it's just, it's a testament to how good Tito was. And how good this team
is. Oh, sure. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
All right. Bri, we're here at the end of the show. Thank you, everybody. We have 239 people watching right now, Bri. How awesome is that? 239.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank everybody for watching. We want to thank our troops and first responders for everything you guys do. Bri, we're here at the end of the show. Why don't you God bless them?
Yeah. God bless you. God bless America.
All right, we are Illegal Ham the Face. I am Fatty. He is Big Bri. We are Uncorked, Unloading. We're out. See you guys next Thursday.